USA Headline News, I'm Kelly Sloan. The New York Stock Exchange says today's technical problem is not the result of a security breach. Trading has been suspended since late morning. DME Securities floor manager Alan Valdez says it's just a glitch.
It's a glitch. I know we'll be back up and running pretty soon.
The Dow has been down more than 200 points at times, but the Nasdaq and other exchanges are unaffected. Earlier today, the Chinese stock market slid dramatically, and United had to ground flights due to computer glitches. President Obama was briefed about the outage by Homeland Security Advisor Lisa Monaco.
Ms. Monaco told the president that at this point, there is no indication that malicious actors are involved in these technology issues.
That was White House Press Secretary Josh Earnest. The deadline for the Iran nuclear talks has been pushed back to Friday. Even though some of the negotiators from other countries have gone home, Secretary of State John Kerry remains there with the Iranian foreign minister. This is USA Headline News.
Safety for your home and family. Now that's important to you. And Gator Security, with its 5-year warranty, can help. With security, video surveillance, and access control, Gator Security is available at www.gatorsecurity.com or 800-676-1580. Gator Security, with its 5-year warranty, is a proud corporate sponsor of WCNO. Gatorsecurity.com.
Godfrey Electric is a fourth-generation, full-service electrical contractor serving St. Lucie, Martin, Palm Beach, and Broward counties. Godfrey Electric specializes in industrial, commercial, and residential electrical service work. Godfrey Electric, an underwriter of the WCNO Ministry, is available on the web at www.godfreyelectric.com or at 561-833-3753.
USA Christian News. Jack Phillips, the owner of Masterpiece Cake Shop of Lakewood, Colorado, feels the government should not force him to do something that would violate his strongly held religious beliefs. The tensions attacking religious freedoms continue to grow all across the country when people like Phillips have been told by the government they must bake a wedding cake for a so-called homosexual marriage ceremony. Nicole Martin spoke to reporters about her client's strongly held religious beliefs.
A government that tells you what you can't say is bad enough. A government that tells you what you must say and what you must create is one that we should all fear.
Jeremy Tedesco with Alliance Defending Freedom says Phillips will do business with homosexuals but not take part in any activity that violates his constitutional rights.
Jack Phillips is entirely glad to serve gay and lesbian customers. He offered to create them any other cake they wanted.
For the USA Radio Network, I'm John Clemens.
West of Old England, a WCNO corporate underwriter, has the best in equestrian and western wear from head to toe for both horse and rider. They are your Wrangler, Pro Rodeo, and Horseman headquarters with an expanded woman's department. Also an expanded boot department with Georgia, Justin, and Wolverine boots. West of Old England is located in the Bruner Plaza, 650 Southeast Monterey Road, halfway between US 1 and Canner Highway. West of Old England.
The country and tech companies have to be able to unlock encrypted communications,
where they will be able to respond to lawful court orders.
Tech companies warned that special access could be exploited, and they're promising to protect customer privacy. Jerry Bodlander, Capitol Hill.
State police say they are investigating a number of threats against South Carolina lawmakers debating whether the Confederate flag should stay on the State House grounds. But police aren't specifying whether the lawmakers who have been threatened were opponents or supporters of bringing the flag down. Yesterday, the Senate approved the bill to remove the flag, and the House is debating it today. 24 Islamic State militants have been sentenced to death in Iraq for their role in the killing of 1,700 soldiers when extremists captured Tikrit last summer. The soldiers had been trying to flee from a nearby army base. In the courtroom, some of the victims' relatives burst into tears while others chanted. For more stories, go to usaheadlinenews.com. I'm Kelly Sloan, and you're listening to USA Headline News.
Did you
This is WCNO, Palm City, the good news station.
The following is a paid program. The content is provided by HF Martech, WCNO, its staff, management, and ownership are not responsible for the content. Investment involves risk. Prior to making any investment, an investor should meet suitability requirements. Past results are not necessarily indicative of future performance. Neither the opinions expressed nor the information provided constitutes a recommendation to purchase or provide investment advice. The material presented is not a substitute for obtaining professional advice from a qualified person or firm. Securities offered through Centaurus Financial, member FINRA and SIPC. And now, the host of the Team Martech program, Joe Martech.
Wait a minute. Pastor Tom is my mentor. I trust you to stay here at work 7 days a week all the time.
That's right.
I thought that was in the contract.
No contraire, senor.
No contraire. Hey, this is the Team Martech Hour, and this is Joe Martech and CPA Vince Rosino sitting right here today. We are back from... You ever notice that vacations are hard work?
Yes.
Sometimes you got to come back to work to relax.
I do.
Because, you know, when you're traveling and doing and scheduled and you're going to meet and you're going to go do this, you're going to go do that, you really use up the day.
And you work hard getting ready to go on vacation.
Well, and then you got a little waiting for you when you come
quite
back.
Honestly, that's I right. don't work hard to get ready to go. I go. I've got women that complain and work hard to get ready because they kind of milk that.
Yeah. Have you ever noticed that? Don't you have all the things to do that you got to get done before you leave?
Like what? The honeydew stuff?
No, I'm talking about at work.
Business related. I know. Yeah. I have lots of things I want to get done because I have deadlines and things like that.
Well, see, you probably have more than me. You're because the season, taxes and stuff. But for me, mine is I'm going to check in every day no matter what. And there's really not a whole bunch of stuff. And the clients know I'm going to be gone for a couple weeks. So there's not much. And I make appointments before I leave for 2 weeks after I come back.
Yeah.
You know, but
you see, there's still, my workflow is pretty... I'm not doing 80 hours a week. I'm down to 40, which I feel like I'm on vacation. But yeah. It's
what do you do when you're on the road? Do you do the work on the road?
No, I did not touch a thing for the week that I was gone.
Okay, good. So then you went to North Carolina, then you came back to Florida, and that 6 hour trip took you 12 hours.
Now let me just correct you. It was technically South Carolina. Okay. But it was close enough to Charlotte. But we got a little bit of bad direction there. And we wound up going down 95 and hooking up with I-4 around Daytona. And that was probably the worst thing we could have
done. They made a wrong turn in Alabama.
No, it wasn't that. It was
I-4, you came across the 70.
We went from I-4 to 75.
Terrible.
But
yeah.
We went past Disney and traffic was just
horrendous. Hit the wrong, that's the worst corridor on
and
the state.
Plus we had a terrible storm following us all the way across.
Oh, perfect. And plus, I'm saying it, the 6 hour trip took 12 hours?
It was supposed to be about a 10 hour trip and it took 13 and a half hours.
Because I know when Barb was talking, she said, you talked to Joanne, she said, they're going to show up for dinner at your daughter's.
Yeah, yeah, we were going over there.
In Fort Myers, and that was, you were in Savannah. And it was, I said, uh-huh. Well, dinner's going to be 11 o'clock tonight.
Well, we showed up at 10:15.
Okay.
And we left at 8:15 in the morning.
So, Leadfoot, you were really cranking.
Well, we no, not really because, I mean.
10 over?
No. Well, maybe.
1-888-221-8990. 1-888-221-8990. This is the Team Martech Hour. I am Joe Martech. I'm a financial advisor. I'm also called a securities principal, also a stockbroker, multiple licenses, about 900 clients, basically here on the Treasure Coast, but also in 13 other states because of referrals and people moving, et cetera. But what happened is many, many years ago, and I'm talking many years ago, in order to be what I'm going to call a credible professional, there's no such thing as any one people knowing everything. I guess there's only one person that knows everything. Maybe we have a trinity.
Thank you.
Thank you. Well, other than Pastor Tom is very humble
today.
Well,
he's really humble.
He's very humble today.
And gee, so, I thought no, it was no, somebody
all
else.
All this time I thought it was your wife.
I thought it was somebody with the initials JC.
Yeah, I thought so.
Well, that's true.
Other than that. You know, just because you're a disciple.
You were looking at me. I know.
You figured guilt by association, it's going to happen. Literally what happens is clients ask you questions you don't have the answer to. And the main questions involved around insurance, legal, taxes. So what happened is, in order to be a credible professional, you find other quote, credible professionals. And what are you looking for? Well, number one, I didn't want anybody new in business. Why? Well, when you're young, you know, and all of us had to go through a amount of school to get credentials. Does that teach you what the real world is all about? Not really. It teaches you how to pass tests and to get licensed and get certified and get all that stuff. Then you have to continue to keep taking your test. But still in all, it's a never-ending educational battle. Well, if people make mistakes, most of the people make mistakes when they're new in business. After they've been in business 10, 20, 30 years, most of them are a little bit more cautious about making mistakes, and they are very careful about how they do whatever from a credibility standpoint. So that was number one. I wanted people in business that were not new in business. So the first members were Dan Warren, independent insurance agent, who's only 35 years, give or take, who, in my opinion, is the, I got to say my opinion because my compliance people, you remember that part, Vin.
I remember those people.
Keep me online here.
They keep you on the straight and narrow.
Yeah, I know.
And you need that.
I know. He's probably the premier independent insurance agent on the Treasure Coast. And, by the way, in that recent thing they published of all of the businesses, you know, Dan got number one.
Really? He did?
He was.
And deservedly so.
Yeah, because they had like 5,500 votes or 55,000, wow, something like that. And Dan got the number one independent insurance agent on the Treasure Coast.
And besides that, he's really a nice man.
Well, he's a good man. And there's another whole thing about it. Dan's just a flat good guy. So I had to have an independent insurance agent. Why? Well, if you work for one insurance company, you really work for that company. And if that company decides you're going to give away half your business or double your premiums, you're guilt by association. But if you're independent, Dan has 85 companies under his umbrella, not all of cars or homes, but 85 companies. So if one falls out of favor, he can go back to his client and say, hey, we're going to change companies this year because it's in your best interest to get you a better deal, better coverage, same price, better price, something. And that was an important part, having a very credible, independent insurance agent. Next one was an attorney. That's the hardest one ever, because attorneys by nature, I kind of put them as, how often do you want to go to the dentist and have a tooth pulled? You know?
Now, be nice.
I know. Okay, maybe a little worse than the dentist.
No, that's not what I meant.
Oh, okay, fine.
Oh, man.
I know, Vin.
There's some very nice attorneys out there.
Are there really?
Okay. Yes, yeah. There are. There are some nice attorneys out
yeah?
there.
Yeah. You know them personally?
I know one that you're about to talk about.
I know.
I know the one, yeah.
And you're about to talk about. We know a couple of
the others, they're across the board. Okay. Honestly, you've got them across the board.
I know. I'm picking on attorneys as a group just because you can. You know, that's just become the popular
thing.
For now. You're right. The key with this was, when I meet a new prospect, suspect, one of the first things I ask him is, are you ready to die?
Ooh.
Now, I know. If I'm an attorney, what I'm supposed to say is, have you done your estate
planning?
Now, if I'm Pastor Tom, he's saying, okay, fine. How are you set up to meet God? Right?
That's right. That's right.
So we have a couple different answers there. And every once in a while, I have to handle both ends, which is interesting. But, you know, that's a blessing when you can get involved in that. So the question was this, estate planning means will or trust. So I'm a monster believer in those things. We've all watched families fall apart, and I've got families that I know are going to fall apart, and I'm doing the best I can to keep them all together so that it doesn't happen. So doing a will and or a trust becomes a very, very important part of one of the first things I do when I meet with somebody. And I know, Vince, you do the same thing.
And you know, Joe, it's not just simply means just wills and trusts, but it's also the strategies on how to use those vehicles.
Absolutely.
When to use them, how to use them. To reduce taxes and also for asset protection.
Well, if we talk from a money standpoint, yes, reduce taxes, asset protection. Very often, though, when I have a person that doesn't have a tax problem, because, you know, you can leave $5 million plus today and there's no estate tax.
And also probate. I guess you're going to talk about that.
Probate's a big thing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, for those of you that have not heard that word, probate makes attorneys rub their hands together and smile because they get paid a big buck, but the probate processes can be usually at least 5 months, can be 6 months, a year, or longer, depending on if anybody contests it. And in the meantime, attorneys get paid by statute around 3% of the value of the probate.
No, the probatable assets.
Probatable assets. So if you've got a probatable assets worth $1 million, attorney's going to get $30,000.
Not bad.
On the, other hand, if you had a trust, you might have paid $1,200 for that trust rather than your kid's $30, and the trust immediately settles, whereas the probate may take 6 months or a year. So anyway, a lot of these things are education that we, meaning Vince as a CPA, Joe as a financial advisor, try to educate people to get these things taken care of. And then, even after they're educated somewhat, it's called, what do you put down? Now, there's where Greg really shines, because he's patient.
Mm-hmm.
He, you know, what happens is a lot of people really don't know exactly what they want. But I've often said, let's just assume you drop dead right this minute, right now. What do you want to have happen to your stuff? Well, that's what the will and a trust are all about. You've got to write this stuff down. And then, who are you going to put in charge of doing it? Those are the two major things that come up.
And you know, a lot of people, Joe, think because they have what they call a sweetheart will, that they're covered.
Yeah.
You know, the one goes, the other gets everything, you
right.
know, then vice versa. Well, that's fine, except if you both go at the same time.
Yeah.
Then what happens?
But there's exceptions even to that. You know, I don't know if Tom, if we ever talked about this on the show, but I had a husband and wife client of mine. They had a trust. Now, they were very private. Say, no, Joe, you don't need to see the trust. I need to see the first page and the signature page in order to put things into the trust, but I don't need to see the meat of the trust, who gets what and where they get it. So they gave me that. Well, one, by and by, the husband dies. And the wife calls me up and says, Joe, husband died. And when we had the trust done, the attorney did not put our house in the trust. Now, Dan and I were on the show, and Greg was there that day, and we're saying, why in the world would an attorney not put the house into the trust? Because you want to avoid probate, right? So the trust avoids probate. So Dan and I were asking Greg, give me a reason. And Greg, he's not going to badmouth another attorney. He says, I don't know. Greg, Dan and I said, money. When one of you dies,
it's another bite at the apple.
The other one come back in to the attorney, and then he will put the house in the trust, so he gets another fee. So I said to my client, I said, no, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll take you down to the courthouse. We'll put the house into the trust, and you buy lunch. It's a lot cheaper than going to the attorney. She says, great deal. So we go to the courthouse, and they look up the deed, and they're going to put the house in the trust, and they say, nope, we can only put your half, not your husband's half, into the trust. I said, why? Well, because the deed did not say husband and wife.
Mm.
This would be like you and I owning a piece of property, yeah. Tom.
Well, Greg went over that with me not long ago when I had my will done.
Yeah.
And I thought, well, you know, I need to put my home and everything in a trust. And he was telling me that maybe in my situation, after we talked for a while, that wasn't the best thing for me to do.
Not necessary.
That I didn't need to do that.
Yeah.
Why necessary? Because in Florida, my house was already titled correctly, what you're about to say.
So what if it's titled husband and wife, Tom dies, it's automatically his wife's. If his wife dies, it's automatically his. But if it doesn't say husband and wife on the deed, whoever died, it's subject to that person's estate. Now, Florida has dower laws, that's, I'm calling it dower, which allows 25 or 35% to go to the spouse, and the rest would go to the children. Well, just imagine if there were stepchildren.
Mm.
Uh-huh. Well, luckily, this client of mine had natural children, but all three kids, it had to go through probate. All three kids had to sign off. And then we got to put the house into the trust because of a mistake.
Hmm.
And that was, this
could
is an
be a costly mistake.
Let me just tell you this. I tell everybody if you get a chance, look at the deed on your house and see if it says, if you're married, husband and wife. And if you're not married and you want it to go to your partner when you die, whoever dies first, make sure it says, what's it supposed to say?
Either husband and wife.
Or yes.
What's the other phrase?
JTWROS.
Yeah, joint with rights of survivorship.
Joint tenants with rights of survivorship. So that means, Tom, let's say you and I own a house and we're good buddies. And if I die, it's yours. If you die, it's mine. We have to put not husband and wife, because you'd be a funny looking wife, let me tell you. But we'd have to put.
Thank you.
You're welcome. you need to shave.
You might have some problems with that.
You, you put joint
Somebody
tent.
Asked me why I grow whiskers. I just don't want anybody confused.
I know you're cute, but you're not that cute. Anyway, JTWROS, joint tenant with rights of survivorship. So people that may not be married, or if it's they that's what they want, in case one dies, the other one gets it. If you don't put that, then, hey, what's mine is mine, and what's yours is yours. And it's, if I die, it's going to go through my estate. And if you die, it's going to go through your estate.
Well, so, that could be true. For, you know, if two brothers were...
Two brothers? Brother
you know,
and sister?
Going in on a venture of
sure.
property or something?
They could have the same last name. Makes no difference if it doesn't literally say HW, husband and wife, spouses, something to designate a marriage. It's going
or,
to be
or an agreement of some sort that
JTWROS is the other agreement, which
That's
is
right.
the normal one, you know, joint tenants with rights of survivorship. So I counsel that because I've seen it, and Greg has seen it a lot more often than I have, you know, because he's the attorney and he runs into this stuff, which can cause major trouble. So all these little things is why we had to put a group together of what I call credible professionals. And then we added over a period of time, Ms. Victoria Lloyd, Remax of Stewart, Miss Chiquita Banana. I've only known this girl since 1980. She is literally the hardest working person alive. You couldn't make her lie if you tried. She's only going to show you the right way to go. She'll prove to you what your house is worth. She'll help you buy something. She knows short sales. She knows deed back. The girl knows her business, period. And she's a worker. She works. When she tells you she's going to call you back, she will call you back. If she tells you when, she'll do it when she says. That's just how she is. Then the next member works hand in glove with Ms. Victoria. That's Mr. Mike Polis, mortgage broker. Now, Mike is more than a mortgage broker. He's technically a correspondent lender, which he does make his own loans, etc. But here's the reality. When you call Mike and you want to talk about a mortgage, he doesn't say, hey, this is exactly the rules. Because he may have 10 or 15 different sources that might fit you, whereas if you walked into one bank, you may not fit. Best example I had, Tom, was a client of mine, retired banker, very sophisticated, intelligent person, says, I'm going to buy another house, Joe, I'm going to get a mortgage. And I said, okay, fine, you should call Mike. She goes, nope, I know what I'm doing. I was a banker. Don't worry, I'm going to go to my bank. I know those people. Month later, she calls me. She got turned down. I said, Phil, how'd you get turned down? She goes, I co-signed for a loan for a nephew who didn't pay.
He defaulted and she had to come up with the money.
She's now liable. Mm-hmm. So they just turned her down. They didn't tell her how to correct it. And I said, okay, call Mike. Well, Mike got her approved, you know, got it taken care of. But the point is, When you talk to somebody like Mike, within the first 10 or 15 minutes, he'll tell you what you can qualify for. If you walk in the door to XYZ Bank, normally it might take him a month to tell you yes, no, or maybe.
Right.
But with Mike, you'll know immediately. In fact, I've got a client that called me today about a reverse mortgage. And he said, what do you think, Joe? And I said, personally, I think they're the greatest thing since chocolate milk. You got equity in your house? He goes, yeah, I've got about $100,000 of equity, but I still owe money on it. And I said, this is the greatest thing in the world. You can pay off that mortgage and you can get a line of credit on top of that if you want the money, and you never have to pay it.
That's right. You don't have to pay it. And if there's any balance due when you move out of the house or die,
right,
then they get paid at that point in time.
Yeah. And the way it works, literally, let's say that you die or you move out of the house and the house has a mortgage on it for $100,000 and it's worth $200,000. Your heirs say, okay, fine, let's sell the house and pay off the 100, or refinance it, pay off the 100. But let's say you owe 200 on the house and it's only worth 100. There is no recourse. This is a government insured mortgage. There is no recourse to anybody. And literally during this recession, I literally had a client that had a condo that they got $160,000 appraisal on a $50,000 condo. And it came to getting the mortgage, and they said, Joe, what should we do? We can get this money. And I said, let me tell you, I have no sympathy whatsoever for our government. They're willing to insure it. You are paying for that insurance. Get every dime you can out. Put it in your pocket. Do whatever you want with it. You can walk away from that because that's the law. It's the rule.
But they've learned lessons, too, over the years, Joe. They don't loan you 100% of the value.
They never did.
They probably give you 50 or 60% of the value of the house, you know, whatever the fair market is, less your existing debt. And by the way, they usually want you to pay off that debt.
Well, they do. They have to pay off.
I think maybe that's a requirement.
Yeah. The VA loan will finance 100%.
Yeah, it will. Yeah. But we're not talking a reverse.
You're talking a regular conventional mortgage.
You're talking about the reverse.
I'm talking reverse. Okay. Yeah, reverse says you've got to be at least 62. Now, the older you are, let's say you're 80 when you get this reverse mortgage, you might be able to get 80% of the value. But when you're 62, you might only be able to get 50% of the value. They change the percentage.
50% of the equity.
Well, of the value.
The value.
So let's say the house is worth $100,000 and it's free and clear. They'll say, okay, fine, we're going to give you a check for $50,000. You can go do anything you want with it and you never have to make a payment. That's the reverse mortgage. Now.
And you don't have to make house payments anymore either.
No, you have That's to correct. Pay insurance and taxes.
You pay your taxes and insurance. Just like you don't pay principal or interest.
You don't pay principal and interest.
Up front. They will get it later.
Well, what they do is now you die or you move out of the house. They'll say, okay, rules are, you got to pay off the mortgage or we're going to take the house, one or the other. So the kids, let's just assume you die. The kids say, okay, fine, we owe $100,000 on the house. It's worth $200,000. We'll either refinance it, pay off the $100,000, or sell it, pay off the $100,000, and get $100,000. So literally, it's a mortgage that grows with accrued interest every right. single year.
Now, when you die and your children inherit
right.
that house, do they have a period of time that they can hold on to it?
One year.
If they're wanting to sell it?
1 year.
Okay.
1 year.
So they have a year to sell the house.
They got time. They don't throw you out immediately.
No.
But, and by the way, side benefit, Joe, is there is a tax deduction at the end of that rainbow. Because when the mortgage is finally paid with the accrued interest,
right.
when you pay it,
right.
it becomes a tax deduction.
Isn't that nice?
Yeah, that's pretty nice. And see, the interest portion. Anyway,
but here's yeah. another thing that happens is, so Tom, let's take this reverse mortgage. You got a house worth $200,000 and they give you, it's free and clear, and they give you $100,000 today. Tax-free. There's no tax on that money. Go do whatever you want with it. And you never have to make a payment. It's just kind of a nice little
it's
thing.
Because it's a loan, and mm-hmm. loans are never
yeah,
taxed.
It's a loan.
When they're given to you anyway. And usually what you do is you pay the interest and you get an interest deduction. But in this case, you're not paying anything.
You're not
so
paying
the interest
anything.
Just accrues until the end. And then when you do pay it, that's when you get the deduction.
Well, this is a great thing for people that may be retired and
yes.
they're on a fixed income.
Well, you have to be 62 or older in order to get it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, to qualify, you must be 62 or older. But it is good if all
but
the, your
But
money,
you can stay in your home.
Yeah, well, yeah. You yeah. have to, technically. You can't just walk away from it. I don't know what the rules are, how long after you get this reverse mortgage you have to stay in it, but I don't think you can just walk out the next day after you get the loan.
No, I'm not sure, Joe.
And
I should look
either.
Into that because I don't know
I don't
if there's like a mandatory, you have to have it for 5 years or something.
I really
you know?
Don't know.
Is or there a limit on how long it is before you can sell the home?
No. That I knew, no. You can sell it anytime you want, but you got to pay
you
off
the
mortgage.
You got to pay
mortgage. Them. You got to pay off your mortgage.
That's a trigger. As soon as you sell it, it's a trigger. They get paid. A
client that called me today, husband
Speaking
and wife.
Of clients calling, people might want to call the station today
yeah.
and ask a question.
We need a
well,
number.
How do they do that, Tom?
Well, that's what I'm reminding you to give a phone number.
Yeah, but I don't know if I can see that number on the wall.
Well, we have a toll. you've been gone so long, you've forgotten it.
Toll
well,
free.
Toll free.
1-888-221-8990.
The lines are open.
Yeah, the lines are open, and you can call today if you have questions about the discussion going on here.
Yeah,
that number
yeah.
again, 888-221-8990.
Let's talk about taxes a little
Ooh.
Bit. And what's going on with the state of Florida these days and the government?
With the state of Florida, well, you know, they're always modifying things in the state of Florida.
Yeah,
sales tax and things like that because that's their mainstay. But it's
right.
nothing that I would want to report out to you right now. The government, on the other hand, there's still lots of talk going on about, you know, what they want to do with taxes.
Of course, we've got an administration change imminent as the two parties fight when President Hillary takes over. We'll.
Well, you know, there's been some House and Senate members who are talking about doing this whole complete overhaul of the tax system.
Of course, they've been talking about that forever.
Yeah, but I think now it was a deal being made with the administration that something would be done. But you know what they typically do? They come out with a big agenda, all
this crazy
stuff.
Right.
They talk about it, they promote it, and then they wind up doing something they're on the fringes. You know,
yeah, what
do you have? Nothing.
60,000 pages in the code now, something.
75,000.
75,000 pages. It gets worse rather
well, what
than.
What do you think about this flat tax? You know, or, you know, just a.
I think the flat tax would probably be a more fair tax if you had to look at it all the way. Of course, this is sort of talking against my own interest here as a CPA and tax preparer, but we have a progressive system in the country.
One of the
you know what that means? The more money you make, the percentage, more the more you theoretically pay.
Hey, speaking of which, we got a phone call here. Caller, it's Joe Martek. You're on the radio. Hello.
Hi, how you doing?
Hey, I'm doing Quiet. Great.
Good, good. Yeah, I was just listening to your program. I wanted to ask you a question about a reverse mortgage.
Sure, go right ahead.
Yeah, when you have a reverse mortgage, let's say the in this case it would be my parents. Once they did decease,
okay,
and they pass away, what happens to the reverse mortgage? Do you have an option to purchase the home?
The answer is really simple. Here's the it's a mortgage. Your folks die. If you want to inherit the home, you pay off the mortgage, and it's your house. If you want to sell the house, you pay the mortgage, and whatever's left over is yours.
See, the key here, caller, and Joe, is that, and that's a very important point that he's making here, is that you never lose title to the property.
Right.
You're not turning over your property to this lender. You're just essentially, as you said, it's creating a mortgage situation, and if you wanted to keep that home when your parents pass, you'd need to pay off that mortgage once they die or the house is sold. It needs to be paid off. So your option then would be to refinance it to pay off this lender or sell it outright get the money.
So literally what you're doing is if your folks owe money on the house, or let me just give you my best example. We had a lady in Fort Pierce, 80-some years old, living in a house and never had air conditioning. She got a reverse mortgage, and for the first time in her life, she had air conditioning in her house. She got to have a new lease on life. Now, when she died, her children would inherit that house, but they would have to pay off the mortgage on it. And it's just that simple. Now, let's just say they did not want the house. Then the lender is going to take the house. Like any foreclosure.
No, the lender would say they want to be paid. They'd call the loan, and they'd say, hey, you got a year to pay this, and then you've got a choice. So, either come up with a refinance or sell it.
So very often, like if you being a son, you'd say, hey, Mom and Dad, I'd like you to have $50,000 in your pocket. Let's do a reverse mortgage. You take the $50,000. Don't worry about us kids. You don't have to make payments. You get to go play. When you do die, we will pay off the mortgage and sell your house, or we'll take over the house, whichever you prefer.
Right. And as far as the time, what's the timeline after your parents have passed away?
1 year.
1 year. Okay. Well, thank you so very much. Very interesting topic.
Hey, you're welcome. It's a big topic, and anytime you need information, you know where to yell.
Call us. Call us anytime, on topic or off topic.
We'll you be got happy. It. Hey, we appreciate the call. Thanks very much.
Thank you so much. You have a great day now. Bye-bye.
You do the same. Bye-bye. Thanks, caller.
1-888-221-8990. Our producer is supposed to give this number out, you know, but Pastor Tom, he falls asleep on the
That's why I reminded you to do it. I have a question. You mentioned something really important there that maybe people didn't catch. Is when they get a reverse mortgage, they hold title. They keep the title to the
property.
So the lender basically holds a lien.
Yeah, exactly.
They hold a mortgage.
Just like a regular
mortgage. It's a mortgage. It's no a regular mortgage. It's called a reverse mortgage because you don't have to make payments on it up front.
It's the exact.
It's reverse as you're paying it off at the tail end when you either sell the when you sell a house or you die, you pass on.
Hmm. Literally. It's the same as any other mortgage, except you don't make payments.
That's right. Exactly. If you could simplify it that way, like any other mortgage.
I could do this with my kids.
Now, let's say you take that $50,000 or $100,000, whatever it is, while you're not making payments on it, is it building interest?
Yes, it's accruing interest.
Yeah.
That's what
whatever
I meant by accruing.
Whatever lien amount you put on the house, whether it's in cash in your pocket or to pay off, whatever it is, makes no difference. Let's just say it's $50,000. And let's just say the interest rate's 5%. Well, at the end of the year, $50,000 times 5% is $2,500 is going to be added to that $50,000. And then next year, they're going to add another 5% times that $52,000.
But each year that goes on, that $2,500 that was added last year,
it keeps building.
It compounds the interest.
Yes, it does.
Going forward.
It may very well be that you might accrue so much interest that it might exceed the value of the house at that point.
But
at the end of the rainbow.
But the thing is you never have to pay it back.
Nobody has to pay it.
Live in the house until You live to be 120 years old.
Well, in
you're
theory,
living in, the house.
In theory, correct. In theory, you're going to like this. This is theory. Remember this word, theory. It, with the exception of this last debacle in the housing industry, when the prices escalated to ridiculous things, then came down. If you look at history, the value of housing, like a house built in the Second World War after the Second World War, might have cost $10,000-$15,000. Up in New York, people might have sold it for $250,000 or $500,000, $300,000 later. Because normally, houses went up in value over a period of time.
The correct. First house correct. I bought in Tampa years ago, I paid $17,500.
Okay.
Recently online, I was looking at the Tampa properties, and that house that I paid $17,500 for sold about 6 years ago for $500,000+.
Yeah. All I'm trying to say is, if the system works according to norm, where you don't buy the house at the top of the market, you bought it in a normal market, it's going to go up 4 or 5% a year, so it's pretty much an offset. Yeah. But can't count on
well, that. Yeah, it depends on where interest rates go.
You got another call.
Go ahead. Let's take
call.
Another take call. It. Take it. Caller, it's Joe Martek. You're on the radio.
Yep. Hi. I have a question about my house. I received a letter for foreclosure.
Right.
I live in this house, but I was saving money to buy another house so I can move. And my question is, if I buy cash, the other house, it's an old house, $65,000. I make an offer. I'm in a contract with the other house to buy. But my question is, if I put under my name and my husband's name the other house, this foreclosure can affect it? Like they can go against my house that I'm buying?
Maybe.
But they'll probably put it if most likely if there's a deficiency, in other words the value of the house is less than the mortgage, they will likely put what they call a deficiency judgment against you.
Let's explain that.
Okay,
here's what happened. Let's say you bought the house for $100,000, but now it's worth $50,000 and it goes into foreclosure. The bank is going to come up and they're going to take it and they're going to sell it, and let's say they sell it for $50,000 and you owe $100,000, they're going to come back after you for $50,000 and they will get what Vince just called a judgment on you, which is now a lien on possible things in the future. So if you have that judgment on you and then you later on want to sell the new house, even though it's your homestead, you might have a problem. The point becomes how you title the house. So the house you're in today that's going into foreclosure, is it in your name and your husband's name?
No, only my name.
Now, you like your husband?
Yeah. No, I can put under his name only.
That's where I was going with that. You know? Okay, let me ask you. Not only do you like him, do you trust him?
That's getting a little too personal.
I know.
Yeah, you know,
if you put it in,
it doesn't matter if it doesn't matter. We are married now, so it doesn't matter if it's only his name.
If it's only in his name and your house is foreclosed in only your name, then there's no liability for him on that house. Now, what you'd have to do in order to make sure, in case he dies before you, is to either get a will or a trust set up to make sure that you get that house when he dies. So then you'd be talking to an attorney. But I'm not an attorney in Vincent's, but I'm going to tell you right now, in the state of Florida, I am not responsible for the debts of my spouse unless I sign for them. So this house that you have, if you let it go and they come back after you, they cannot come back after him unless he signs.
Plus in Florida, you've got an exemption. It's your house, is your castle.
Yeah. So I'm sorry. Go ahead. You had more question?
Yeah. I just received a letter for foreclosure. Do you think if I ask them to make a short sale, it's going to be different?
Very, very possible. Now, let me tell you about a short sale. When you go to your lender and say, I want a short sale, that means, okay, Mr. Lender, you'll agree to let us sell the house and pay off the mortgage, even though it may not pay off the whole mortgage, and you release us from that. That's very, very important. But you now have another potential problem. If they know you've got 50 or 70 or 80,000 in cash, there's no way in the world they're going to let you
walk away.
walk away from it.
Oh. Yeah.
So if they think you can pay for it, they're not going to let you walk away.
In fact, Joe, they usually ask them for a personal financial statement. What is a personal financial statement? It's a piece of paper that lists all your assets, all your liabilities, and what you're worth.
However,
and if they saw $80,000 or $100,000 in the bank,
you're
dead. They're going to say, "Forget it. We're not going to give you this short."
But
sale.
Here's another thing. How long have you been married? How long have you been married to this love of your life?
1 year.
Okay, good.
Less than 1 year.
What I'm trying to say is that literally his assets don't have to show up on your financial statement. So what you stand by yourself, he stands by himself. What you just have to be a bit cautious of, and I'm only doing this to protect you as if you were my daughter, when you pay cash for this house and put it in his name, make sure he's not going to dump you the next week. anyway,
That I have the money under my name and the money only my name. So if I go to the bank and tell the whole money and put it under his name, it's going to be a problem.
Well, here's the problem you have right now. If you go for a short sale, they're going to ask you to sign an affidavit and swear that you're telling the truth that you don't have any money. Can you do that? Can you lie to them and do that? Don't do that.
No. I can't because they're going to see in the bank either.
That's my point.
And then you'd be opening yourself up to other.
You're opening yourself up to another problem. So here's the problem. That money that's in your name only today, you're never going to be able to get a short sale, in my opinion, because the bank will say you can afford to pay it. So what you want to do is talk to the bank, tell them the truth. Hey, I got married. We can't afford this house. What do we have to do to get out from under it? And they're going to ask you, do you have money? And you're going to say, yes, I've got this much money. It's sitting in the bank. And maybe they'll work a deal with you. Maybe they won't. If you go through the foreclosure process, it gets a little messier. But you're at some point here, you'll probably have to get an attorney involved because this gets a little messy.
Okay.
Isn't this exciting?
It's all exciting. But the fortunate news is that these kind of situations have dissipated a bit since the years have gone by. I mean, back 5 years ago was a lot worse situation.
Oh, yeah. It's a bit easier today than it was 5 years ago is what Vince is saying for you to work with lenders. What will happen is you talk to your lender first, and if that doesn't work, you get back with us, and we'll put you together with a mortgage people and an attorney, and you can talk to them on the phone and let them guide you a little better than we're doing on the radio.
All right. Thank you so much.
Okay. Oh, you're welcome.
Good luck.
Call back anytime.
Make sure after you buy him a house, you tell him he can't leave you.
Well, make sure you have that legal document that turns it over to you.
All right. Thank you very much. God bless you. Good luck.
Yes. God bless you.
When a lender files a judgment against someone that goes into foreclosure, does a bankruptcy clear that?
Yeah.
Normally? Normally, yes, but it takes, yes.
Normally. Here's the problem she's got again. She's got 65 or 70 or 50,000 in cash. You can't hide that money. If you do, they void the bankruptcy. It could be fraud. It could be criminally prosecuted. I mean, this is a big deal.
Well, that's
a stain on your record,
too. The bank is going to look at it and say, if you got $75,000 or something in the bank, why haven't you paid the mortgage?
Yes.
Well, that's what we were talking about. Yeah. Because they ask you for financial statements. So you're going to show $70,000 there.
Take that money and catch up on the payments and stay where you're at.
They don't want to hear that you're using that money as a down payment on the next house.
Now, forgive me.
You owe them $50,000.
But she's got this new boy toy, you know, and he wants a new house.
Well, I understand there's a lot of things in the world that someone might want. But
you can't always have what you
can't
want. Here's what
they wrote a song about it.
That's right. You can't always get
you
what
can't
you want.
Always get
but
what
sometimes
you, want.
You get what you need.
Yes, and sometimes, like the country song says, thank you, Lord, for unanswered prayers.
That's right.
Anyway, what I'm trying to say is there's always a situation, and sometimes just talking to us on the radio isn't going to cure it. Sometimes it gets a little too complicated, and it needs to get other professionals
and
involved.
And what you're talking about here, just to cover us, is not legal advice.
That's correct.
We're not giving legal advice.
No.
And it's the opinions of the
It's an opinion.
People hear our opinion. And well, you need to seek legal counsel.
Yeah. Well, we're also not charging for any of this stuff. See, yeah. You know, we can talk about people with our experiences and what we've done, yeah. And we can help guide them.
But
then when it comes down to getting right to the nitty-gritty, yeah. You need to get this thing done properly because it's complicated.
And generally, you know, we advise the audience or the clients when we're beyond our expertise.
Yeah.
Because, you know, nobody wants to put themselves in that position.
No. That's right.
You know, you open yourself up for
And there's a phone number if you have a question and you'd like to call. That toll-free number from anywhere
is
888-221-8990. And you've got about 15 minutes left in the program.
Call. 888-221-8990. Let's talk about another thing that is important that Vince and I've run into from time to time is a young couple or a person, maybe not so young, that says, hey, I want to go into business. I want to buy a restaurant. I want to buy a store. And, you know, all of that sounds good and wonderful because everybody would like to own a business of some kind or and be successful. Unfortunately, probably 90% of the businesses that start fail. And a lot of that can be avoided if you start off with the proper advice. Now, where would you possibly get that kind of advice?
Well,
you should bring it up.
You can actually visit with your local professional, CPA, who could help you. A, there's lots of things to talk about.
Yep.
But you got to call.
Go?
Let's take it. We'll get back to us.
Caller, it's Joe Martek. You're on the radio.
Hey, great show, guys. Appreciate taking my call.
Thank you.
I've got a question on trust. I own a business with my parents, and they're 50%, and I'm 50%. And right now I'm in a will. The final part of the business to me, if they do pass away, I have three other brothers, but the entire 50% would go back to me. But I'm trying to convince them to go into a trust. And the question I have is, I know there's two different types of trust. They're revocable and irrevocable. Are there benefits versus one versus the other? And especially on the tax side for them?
Yes, there is. And a lot of it is dependent on how large the estate is to begin with. Because with a revocable, really the control over the assets of that revocable trust retained with the grantor, in this case your parents. So naturally all this is a legal fiction, which means it's set up legally to house the assets of the grantor. But all the benefits of the ownership of those assets go back and inure to the grantor. There is actually remains in the estate, so that let's say you had a right now the federal exemption is $5.35 million. Which means that you get an exemption up to that point. But let's say you had a $10 million state that you had $4.5 million exposed in the event that they passed. Well, then you might want to think about planning to take some of the assets out of that estate and put them into what's called an irrevocable trust. Why? Because once the money moves out of their revocable trust or personal assets into this irrevocable, they lose and relinquish all control over those assets. And thereby, it comes out of their estate. So it would not be taxable to them and would not be taxable within their own estates. That money is out and therefore in the control of the trustee of the irrevocable trust with its own trust documentation.
Here's, I guess, the question. How much is the business worth?
Well, how much is the whole estate worth?
Well,
the business is worth probably, I don't know, $3, $4 million.
Okay.
Somewhere in that
if you're below 5.3, one of the things that I personally like about a trust is there's no probate, and you set up this trust, even if it is revocable, that property can move to you immediately upon their death without having to go through probate. That's the value of a trust, is just to avoid probate. Now, as Vince was saying, if the estate got over $5.3 million, there's now estate tax, which can be up to almost, was it 50% or 45?
45%.
Which can be very, very onerous. So very oftentimes people will do a irrevocable trust. Sometimes they'll even buy life insurance that will pay the taxes when that comes up.
Correct.
So and the question is this, if you are reasonably sure that the value of this business is considerably less than a $5.3 million, and you can prove such a thing, when the government comes along and your folks do decide to give this to less than, they'd like to be $5-10 million so they can come and collect from you. So you got to do, the key thing is this, here's where a CPA comes in handy. that when you do the balance sheet and the and your financial statements to say, hey, here is the fair market value, once you've got somebody with credibility to do that and prove it, and it's something you probably should do every year automatically with whoever's doing the taxes.
And Joe, the main thing
now, does that value based on the entire value of the business or just their 50% share?
Well, yes. The answer is, well, see, when you get into the area of estate planning, it gets complex. But if I can simplify it for you, in a company-owned situation where it's family,
right,
and you don't have a majority interest, so in your case, it's 50-50. But there are discounts available in these situations where you don't ultimately have the ability by yourself to sell, to make decisions.
But there's another problem. You know, your folks, if they just give you half of the business,
well, they can't just give it to them.
Well, here's what I'm saying. If you started this business from scratch with your parents and you end up with half, and they have half, this is not a gift. You earned or you become partners.
That's correct.
Okay.
Yeah, that's how it is.
Now, then you really don't have the problem. I was worried about that because you they come back to haunt you later. But if that literally is the way it is, then you already own half. That's not a big deal. Your parents died. You're going to get their half. I would definitely, if my opinion is, you definitely get together with an attorney and get a trust taken care of to make sure that's done.
Yeah, and then they can make
well, as I say, for their sake, make it revocable for them to be able to change whatever they need to do, because they probably want to do a trust for the entire estate, correct?
Yeah, because there is two things, as Joe pointed out. One is the actual protection of the assets from probate, but also you need some estate planning to go along with this, both for you personally and for your mom and dad. That's why I suggest that, and I do suggest you sit down with an accountant, a CPA, and or a lawyer, and talk about these differentials.
I personally would sit with a CPA first and get the CPA to do it from a tax standpoint, and then the attorney can draft the trust based on how to protect this asset the best so that the government doesn't get involved.
He mentioned that he has brothers, and if he gets all this taken care of now, it might solve a lot of family problems down the road.
Yeah, that's the whole idea. Yeah, my parents are still young, but I don't want them to get in a situation like you say, if an accident occurs and they both happen to pass away. But, you know, I got three brothers trying to decide what's going to go on. I figure the trust makes more sense.
And then you know what, caller? Then that's where my experience has been, is where all the friction and confrontation is going to happen is when it's the unexpected, and then all of a sudden you're all scrambling, and who wants their share right now because they need it?
Well, the key thing is this.
Exactly right.
In order to keep the family together, which is an important part to us, if you do that document now and everybody knows what it is, I don't care what happens in the future, they know it's put to bed. They can't argue about it anymore.
Makes a lot of sense. All right, I appreciate it, guys. I appreciate it again. Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome.
Thank
call
you.
Us anytime. Bye-bye.
And that number to call, 888-221-8990. We've got about 5 minutes left.
888-221-8990.
Yeah,
that was a good, you know, there's, and this kind of stuff happens, Vince, with these family situations and a family business like that. I could see where his brothers, you could get along. I don't know what that means up at the top.
Well, that means that somebody went to voicemail.
Oh, we missed that call.
They missed that call, so they need to call again.
Okay. Is that what that means?
That means if you went to voicemail when your call was transferred in, you would need to call again.
So otherwise, we can't get it?
Not now. They're not there.
They're not.
Unless so you just want to talk
you
to
could,
the machine.
You could pick up the machine and get the voicemail.
Can we pick up the machine and get the voicemail later?
Later, yeah, we can.
Okay. Unless you want to talk now, then you could call again.
Call back.
1-888-221-8990. Anyway, back where I was leading before, very often the first person, in my opinion, that you should be talking to is the CPA to understand the tax ramifications before you go to an attorney. Now, sometimes there's a tax attorney involved. This is not a bad thing.
Yeah, that's why I say that. Sometimes you have somebody who has knowledge, and so you go. But I agree with you, Joe. I mean,
first
it's a little self-serving for me to say it, but I think they should go to a CPA.
Their business, let's assume that they have credible tax advice now. Now, if they don't, if you're not comfortable with them, I hate to say this, but the CPA has more credentials. They've got the thing, and Vince, let's be a little self-serving, is a forensic CPA. He's got more credentials. He used to teach university level.
But not Columbia.
Not at Columbia. And you're only 140 years in business?
That's it. No, actually about 36 years.
I know, close enough.
Yeah, it's close enough.
Anyway, the concept is getting credible advice so that you can end up with the right conclusion. Hey, let me talk last couple, 3 minutes about money.
All right.
Love that.
There's all kinds of different investments, and we get questions all the time from listeners about IRAs and Roth IRAs, and I've got a client right now that's retiring, and they've got a 401k, and they said, well, the company that my 401k is with is going to send me a check. And I said, "Ooh, be careful now. Don't let the check be made out to you personally. Let it be made out to whoever's going to manage the money, because then it then becomes your IRA. But if you have that check made out to you, they'll probably want to hold taxes on it up front, and getting those taxes back is going to be a bit of a problem, establishing a new IRA. So you want to just really talk to somebody that has credibility, and a financial advisor does, a CPA does, about making sure that this, quote, rollover is rolled over.
It's very important, Joe. Very important. Because you don't want to have a situation where it all becomes taxable currently You didn't title it properly and sent it over to the right titled account.
So these are situations that the technicality can hurt you terribly. I've got another client, husband and wife. They weren't married. They've been together 30 years. He has an IRA worth $250,000. He dies. It's her money. But she's going to end up paying 30% of that, give or take, in tax. I said, get married.
You have a call.
And that's they did. We have one more call.
It's a hurry-up call.
Caller, it's Joe Martek. You're on the radio. Hello.
Yes, my name is Garfield. Yes.
Go right ahead.
Garfield Andrews.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
My name is Garfield Andrews. And I got a problem with a loan that my wife was given this loan on our homestead and with her signatures alone. And now the bank's coming after me for the loan.
Caller, you need to turn your radio down.
You got a radio on behind you. Turn that down so that you don't have a double echo. Anyway.
Okay, got it.
Here's the situation. This is not an easy one to talk with quickly. Because technically, if you have a homestead, is it in both of your names?
Yes.
You're positive the deed is in both your names?
Yes.
Okay. Secondly, do you have a first mortgage on the house where you got a loan?
No, not this particular house.
Okay. So
we had a loan on some other properties.
Okay. Let's talk about this one. Is this your homestead? You're living in it right now and you filed it as tax-wise for homestead?
Yes.
And your wife went and got a loan on it by herself?
Yes.
That doesn't sound proper. It sounds a bit fattening and immoral to me, because normally you cannot do that if that house is deeded to you and her. It would need both of you to agree to that loan.
Did you agree
to that loan?
No, this is what happened. I only found out about what happened when it came down to foreclosure.
Oh, boy.
I found out there was a $50,000 loan on the house.
It doesn't sound right.
Something is wrong there. This is almost a legal thing. Let me do it. We've got Garfield. We've got your name and phone number. I'll call you back after the show. But this is not an easy one. Something is not kosher here, because they normally cannot put a lien on your house unless you've signed for it. You know, maybe somebody forged your name. Anyway, we've got your name and number. We'll call you back. We've got to leave you because we've run out of time, and Pastor Tom is giving me the sign to
he's stop, waving us off.
You've
he's waving
he's going to
cut my
Martek
throat.
The Team Martek program is a paid program. The content was provided by HF Martek. WCNO, its staff, management, and ownership were not responsible for its content. Investment involves risk. Prior to making any investment, an investor should meet suitability requirements. Past results are not necessarily indicative of future performance. Neither the opinions expressed nor the information provided constitutes a recommendation to purchase or provide investment advice. The material presented is not a substitute for obtaining professional advice from a qualified person or firm. Securities offered through Centaurus Financial, member FINRA and SIPC. Tune in next Wednesday at 4 p.m. for the Team Martek program here on WCNO 89.9 FM. For more information, Team Martek is available at 772-229-0114. We'll be right back.
choose. It's Jesus in the everyday, me and you. The good news in shoes.
This is the Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.